Love you to join them in reading together between the lines. It's time for our Bible reading. We are in Psalm 131. So if you want to grab your phones, if you're at home, if you want to grab your Bibles, the passage is going to be on the screen as well. Psalm 131. A song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. This is God's word. Well, we're going to continue a series which we started before the summer called The Emotionally Healthy Life. And this morning we're going to look at Psalm 131, which is part of the Song of Ascents, which was sung by pilgrims going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for one of the three annual festivals. It was written by King David, and it's one of the shorter psalms in the whole Bible. And yet it's one of the, it takes one of the longest times to learn. Because this psalm is all about contentment. David the psalmist says he's learned the secret to being content. He's learned what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, that in whatever state he has found himself, to be content. Contentment is a rare jewel in life. It's something that we all want, and few of us have. But the psalm here tells us that it's possible. It's possible to be content. It's possible, no matter what situation you find yourself in, to be content. Whether the sun is shining down on you, or whether the storm clouds in your life, it's possible to know peace, to know contentment. In fact, God wants you to know peace and contentment. He wants you to be content. That's why Psalm 131 exists, because God doesn't want you to live an anxious, stressed, frustrated, worried life. But he wants you to be content in whatever situation you find yourself. Here in Psalm 131, God gives us the secret to contentment. In fact, there's three things this psalm tells us about contentment. It tells us the problem of contentment, the picture of it, and the place of it. The problem of contentment, the picture of contentment, and the place of contentment. First of all, the problem of contentment. David says there's three things which he stopped doing and needed to stop doing in order to be content. There were three things, three issues in his life which made him discontent. Those three things are all products of the same factory. And that factory is the factory of pride. All of us are proud by nature. That's the underlying sin below all our sins. And that pride affects the way we relate to life, the way we relate to each other, the way we relate to God. It's a weed which grows in all sorts of gardens, in all sorts of hearts. And it produces some ugly products. And those ugly products are the root of discontent. The first, David says, is a wrong view of yourself. David says, my heart, O Lord, is not lifted up. Now, in the Bible, the heart refers to the inner person. It's the center of who you are. For your heart to be lifted up means to get above yourself. We might say today that a person is up themselves. It's to have an overinflated view of yourself. It's to be puffed up like a balloon. It's to, for your heart to be lifted up. It's the person who has got a few gifts in a few areas of life and they think they're a genius. Or the person who has got promotion at work and thinks that everybody should suddenly do what they are told. Or the person who's been successful and wants everyone else to know about it through Facebook. You see, that sort of pride is awful. That sort of pride is the sort of pride that pushes yourself forward, pushes yourself in front of everyone else. In relationships, you expect other people to give you honor and you become discontent and discouraged when people don't do that. David says, I don't do that. I don't think of myself too highly. It brings discontentment. But the second thing that hinders contentment in life is a wrong view of other people. David continues and says, my eyes are not raised too high. Now, to raise your eyes too high means that you look down on other people. You have a low view of others. If the first problem when it comes to contentment is that you have too high a view of yourself, the second problem with contentment is that you have too low a view of other people. This is the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? And they both go in the temple to pray, and the Pharisee prays and says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. Or like this tax collector. See, that sort of pride in life expresses itself in criticism. Criticizing others, judging others, looking down on others. It's the sort of pride that says, oh, how awful doing that sort of thing. It's the sort of pride that tuts other people. It's the sort of pride that says, look what they're doing. I would never do anything like that. That sort of pride even picks holes in other people when they do things that are good. Yes, of course, they're doing something good, but obviously they're doing something good from bad motives. And that judgmentalism, that criticism, that pride brings discontent. And so David says, I've stopped doing that. I don't do that. I don't think of others too low. But then he says there's a third product from the factory of pride, a third thing which leads to discontent, and that is a wrong view of God. He says two things here. First of all, he says, I do not spend my time, I do not occupy myself with things too great for me. That is, schemes that I could never achieve myself. See, one of the reasons we are discontent is because we want our circumstances in life to be better than they are. We want them to be different. We want more than we've got. And so instead of doing what God has called us to do, doing what's in front of us, we spend our time planning great things for ourselves, seeking this success, seeking that thing, seeking this influence. But that leads to discontent. You see, this is at the heart of our nature. You know, we all want to be thought of as great people. We all want others to think well of us. And so we want to do things that people will look at and go, aren't they a great person? We want to do things in life that people will speak well about when they attend our funeral. Didn't they live a good life? Weren't they generous? Didn't they succeed at life, at their job, at their family? But David says, I don't do that. I'm not bothered about human approval or recognition. I don't spend my time occupying myself with things too great for me. I just get on and do life as I find it and serve God in the here and now. But he also says this, I don't occupy myself with things too marvelous for me. That is, I don't spend my time trying to solve all the problems of life. See, one example of pride is that we can think that we need to be able to answer every possible question that there is and solve every possible problem. Like, how can God be sovereign over the world and yet we be responsible people? How can that be the case? Or questions about suffering, like asking, you know, why did God allow COVID? You know, we can spend our time, we can occupy ourselves with those sorts of questions. But if we do, then we'll just become discouraged and restless and discontent because there's no ultimate answer to them. David says, I don't worry about things that are beyond my pay grade, that are beyond my ability to understand. I leave those things with God. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. God has revealed some answers to some questions in life, but he's not revealed every answer to every question. There's things which we do know the answer to, and there are some secret things that belong to the Lord. And David has learned that and said, and I don't occupy myself with those sorts of things. Because occupying myself with those sorts of things makes me discontent. You see, we all face this problem of contentment. And the reason we all face it is because we all battle and struggle with pride. We think of ourselves too highly. Think of our others too low, and we think of God too little. So what does contentment actually look like? What would it look like to be a content person? Well, we're given here by David a picture of contentment. David says this. It's a beautiful picture. I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. This is a beautiful picture of peace, of rest, of contentment. The peaceful soul, David says, is like a child that has been weaned. It's stopped drinking its mother's milk and is sitting on its mother's knee, quiet, at rest, not craving food and milk. Instead, it's just learnt how to feed and how to trust its mother to take care of him. You see, the weaned child stops worrying about its own needs and wants and rests content in its mother's care. See, that's the picture of a content person. The peaceful soul, the soul that's at rest and is content, rests in the loving care of the living God. It says, the content soul says, I know that God is my Father. I know he's going to feed me. I know he's going to look after me. I know he's going to take care of me and give me everything I need. And so I don't need to worry. I don't need to get stressed. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need anything except what God provides. That's what it means to have a calm and quiet soul. Let me give you some examples of what that would look like in your life. What does it mean to have a calm and quiet soul? It means that if things go badly for you in life, you don't get stressed. You don't get anxious. You don't get worked up by it. You take a step back and say, I'm going to leave this situation in God's hands. It doesn't look good. It's not good. It doesn't feel good, but I'm going to leave it with God. And if things do turn out well and do turn out for the best, a content soul doesn't get inflated, doesn't get big-headed, doesn't go, well, obviously, I must have done something good, but leaves it with God. Having a content soul means that if you want something from God and he's not given it you, you don't argue and grumble with him about it. You know, many of us do that. We want something and we've been praying about it and asking God for it and he's not given it us, and we become anxious and stressed and even angry at God. But we say, the content soul says, God is my Father. God is good. He's not going to withhold anything good from me, his child. I can have rest and be content with whatever he provides. Having a content soul means that if somebody insults you or hurts you, in the past, maybe you would have held on to grudges and resentments and wanted to get your own back. But having a content soul means that you leave it with God. You accept, you trust God to sort it out. Either sort it out here in the here and now or sort it out in the future. You don't need to take revenge into your own hands. You can rest in God's provision and care. And finally, having a content soul means that if your situation is not as you would want it to be, maybe you want promotion at work and it's not come. Maybe you hanker after a particular relationship and it's not happened. Maybe you want a different family than the one that God's given you, or a different body than the one that you're already occupying. In the past, you might have become sad about your circumstances, feeling sorry for yourself and miserable. But a content soul looks to God and says, if this is what God has provided, then he knows what's best for me. He's my Father. If he's going to give me something which I think is good, great. If he's going to withhold that, then obviously it's for my best. You see, a calm and a quiet soul, a soul that's content, stops fixing their eyes on themselves and instead fixes their eyes on God. Fixing their eyes on his will and his ways. You see, the content soul says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And as you see God's kingdom and God's will, you know peace, you know rest, you know contentment. See, that's the picture of a content soul. A content soul is able to sing these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So how is it possible to sing those words? How is it possible to have this content soul? You know, if we all have this problem of pride and discontentment in our lives, how is it possible to change? And to know God's peace and contentment, to know what it is to be like a weaned child sitting on our mother's knee. Well, the psalm tells us that there is a place where contentment can be found. But that place is not from our circumstances. You know, it's possible to meet somebody and they appear content. And they even say to you, you know, I don't need anything in life. I'm content as I am. But the reason for their contentment is because everything's going well in life. Their job is going well. Their health is going well. Their family's going well. Everything that they value is going well. But what happens when those things don't go well? What happens when those foundations in life begin to shake? When your health begins to break? When a loved one gets sick and dies? You see, if we look to our circumstances for contentment, we will be discontent. But neither do we find contentment by escaping from our circumstances. Sometimes you meet somebody who does that, and they're content, but that is because they've forgotten about their circumstances and instead drown their circumstances in alcohol or Netflix or Facebook. Those things ultimately depress your discontentment, but they don't deal with it. Neither do you become content by pulling your socks up and trying harder. You know, I'm going to try really hard in life. I'm going to try and sort myself out. I'm going to try and be a good person. I am going to try and become more religious and more prayerful, and then I'll be content. No, you'll just become more stressed and more anxious and more irritable and more discontent. The only way to get rid of anxiety and stress and frustration and discontentment is to replace it with something better. That's what David says in verse 3. He says, O Israel, this is the answer to contentment. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David says, if you want to know the secret of contentment, it's this. Hope in God. Hope in God literally means wait on God. Rest in God. Don't find your joy and contentment and rest in anything which God has made. Whether that's family or football or whatever fun thing that tickles your fancy. Don't find your contentment in those things. Those things, many of them are good, but they will be deadly to your soul. Find your rest in God. Find your hope in God. Come to God and say, God, you are my Father. I am your child, brought into your family through Jesus Christ, who you sent to die on the cross for me, that I might be accepted and loved by you. Help me to know what it is for you to be my Father and to know what it is to rest in your fatherly care day after day until the time that you bring me into your heavenly home. You see, that is the God who wants you to be content. The God who wants you for himself and who wants you to find your hope in him. You see, you can depend on him. And you know you can depend on him because he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. If he's not going to withhold his own son from you, for dying for you, for your sins, for your discontentment, he's not going to withhold anything good from you. You know, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, how did he die? Well, he died in agony. He died in pain. He died in grief. He died in turmoil. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He died discontent. He He died discontent so that you could know God's contentment and peace. And if you know that peace and contentment, if you know what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, then you can take to him all your worries, all your anxieties, all the things that frustrate you and stress you. You can take your cares and leave them with God. You can take your worries and leave them with God. You can take the future and leave it with God. You can take the big things in your life that just play on your mind and leave them with God. You can take the small things in life which irritate you. God has even numbered the hairs of your head. That's how much he cares about you. You can take the small things and leave them with God. You know, let's be honest, often it is the small things in life which really annoy us, not the big things. When you're climbing Scarfell Pike in the Lake District, it's the little stone in your foot which is causing a blister, which annoys you far more than scrambling over the 5,000th rock that you've climbed over. Take the small things to God. Take the big things to God. Take everything to God. Rest in God. Hope in God because he cares for you. Go to God with everything and let your soul know peace and contentment. You may say to me, Jumpy, that is so much easier said than done. And it is. And so we need to keep looking to him. Keep looking to him until you find rest in your soul. Until you know God's peace. Keep looking to him day after day. Get hold of that new Reading Between the Lines book. Get hold of the Bible in a morning. Remind yourself every day that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Keep looking to Jesus Christ. Keep looking to God until you know that rare jewel of Christian contentment. Let me pray. Gracious Father, you are a God who wants us to be content and to know your peace. Help us to turn from fixing our eyes on ourselves, from looking down on others, from having a wrong view of you and life, and help us to fix our eyes on you as our hope. And may we know the peace and contentment that comes from knowing that you are our good Father and we are your children, adopted in your family through Christ, who laid down his life, restless, in agony, so we can know your peace and contentment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.